This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
Now, I will say, the journey, and it was a journey, to get to the press box is one of the toughest journeys I've been on.
And Chris Ello.
If he hits two home runs every game, including a glance, excuse me.
Well, it's going to be one of those days, huh?
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes, yes, yes.
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look, here comes our fearless producer.
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, here we go into the 4 o'clock hour on a Monday afternoon. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Odyssey Palace Studios here in San Diego. Padres are idle today, playing Pittsburgh tomorrow. Big Frank filling in for the vacationing Matt Scraby, who is at Wrigley Field tonight, taking in a Cubs-Twins game.
I'm going to text him
and see how he's getting along there. Game should be getting underway in about an hour or so.
Should we just call him like right while he's going through security?
Yeah.
Like the most inopportune
Try
time.
To time it, if you can do that. I was actually hoping not to talk to him at all for these 6 days. So if you could not call him, that'd be fine.
Just text. It's
you
fine.
Can send him a text.
Okay.
But, you know, having a little scrapey break here.
Let's see if he gets back to me.
Isn't a bad thing. Don't know if you guys saw this quote. It was one of my favorites of the day. And then we're going to get into some Chris versus the fans. The quote is, never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I've raised my family on that lesson. And I have preached that lesson to the teams that I have coached. No one is perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. This might be my favorite line coming up here. So it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Oh, I know who this is.
Could only be one person.
It's a Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
For sure.
Attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
That was the dead giveaway right
there. That was the giveaway. Harbaugh's, you know, back under pressure again because, I guess ESPN or somebody got a hold of the allegations from the NCAA.
Another Big Five topic.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk more about it. Sorry, Frank. I don't mean to steal the Big Five.
I ran through the whole
Yeah, and I listened to you,
show.
And then I went on and did my own thing. All right, we'll talk more about that in this hour when we get to the Big Five. But right now, it's time for Chris versus the fans. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
So real quick, Scraby texted me back. He said, actually, I said, what are you doing? He said, actually, just got to Wrigley. So okay. He's just getting there.
Just getting there. All right.
We'll wait to see what he
Hope
says next.
Hope he has
next.
Tickets.
That would be something to show up and not have tickets right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. The one game I went to at Wrigley Field, I went many years ago. I did not have tickets, but was able to purchase some outside.
All right. Chris versus the fans. You got a chance to qualify for a two-night stay at Resort World Las Vegas and two tickets to see Carrie Underwood at the Resort World
nice.
Theater. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Carrie Underwood returns to Las Vegas with her critically acclaimed production Reflection. The Las Vegas residency at Resort World Theater. Tickets for performances from August 14th to October 26th are on sale now at axs.com and rwlasvegas.com. All right. Frank, you want to read the rules?
Sure, I will read the
rules.
Do
you know
them? I got them, if you don't
I,
have
no,
them.
No, I got them.
Okay, you sure?
All right, so you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets the question right, you are done. If Chris gets it wrong and you get it wrong, you still move on to the next question, or you could win.
If it's on the finale question.
If it is on the finale.
I am somebody who played more than 18 question. Holes, apparently, today. I told you guys I told you I was a shell of a man when I came in here.
You did. I didn't know it was this bad. You struggled a little bit.
If you are.
If it's a finale of a question.
There you go. It was like your brain froze for a second
again,
right there.
Again.
Real quick.
If you're a first time player, let us know and you'll move directly to the second question where you have a very good chance at winning today if Chris is this out of it.
Real quick. Kramie says, just about to walk in, but things are popping. Lots of stuff happening. Pretty cool.
That's probably what he has knees. So
things are popping.
Popping. What is a? Oh no, it's a Monday. Wrigley.
Monday night at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, okay. I guess things are popping. Good
All
for
right.
him.
Good for sure.
It is summertime. All right.
Good for him.
Who's our first contestant?
Let's take our first contestant today. Will be Richard in Paradise Hills. Let's go. With that.
Let's go to Richard. Richard, welcome back, my man. How are you?
Oh, y'all just want to get me out the way fast and early.
Maybe not, though. We'll find
Maybe
out.
Maybe not. You could win first.
Here we go. First question. What country was Muhammad Ali born in?
I would assume the United States of America.
It was a trick question. Yes, he was born in the United States of America. Here we go. Question number two.
Cassius Clay.
Well, I got that one wrong. My brothers would have killed me.
Yeah, I think you would have had trouble facing the neighbors.
Question number two. Aha. Before Shohei Ohtani signed with the Dodgers, he was rumored to be on a plane to what city?
Montreal?
Man.
Close.
It was close.
He was going to Toronto.
He was going to Toronto.
Nah. I was just going to say, can you turn your radio down before
Richard
Chris jumps
just
on
missed it?
It.
Sorry, Richard.
Sorry, Rich.
Always a pleasure to have Richard on. I like him. He's a good guy.
Who's our next guest?
All right, next contestant, we will go with Lance in Temecula.
Lance in Temecula. Lance, what's going on? How are
hey,
you?
Hey, how we doing?
We're doing
I'm
well.
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are well. Here we go. First question. How many players does a football team have to have on the field at one time?
Eleven.
Nice work.
Sounded like a trick question in there, and I think Lance was worried about
yeah.
that. Yeah. It's like, it's got to be 11. What am I missing here?
Question number two. I don't even know how to say this question that Scraby has in there. Well, we'll go with which Atlanta Brave pitcher amassed 176 wins between 1990 and 1999.
Huh. 17 points.
Greg Maddux?
Winner.
I'm going to read you now how Scraby wrote the question.
Yeah, Scraby, right.
Which primarily Atlanta Brave pitcher amassed 176 wins between 1990 and 1999? He tried to get cute there.
He's so cute.
let's go to question number
Lance
3.
Lance for the win.
Okay, here we go. In soccer.
Oh, I'm done.
Uh-oh.
It's good for you, Lance. I'm the one who could miss it.
What's the difference between golden goal and silver goal?
What?
This is a screen question. I can't tell you.
A golden goal ends the game?
I think that is the...
Give it to him. That works. It to him. What does the silver goal do?
The silver goal means they play two halves, and the score at the end of the second half is when the game ends.
Got it.
Scraby wrote an essay as an answer for that question.
He did write an essay.
It was a dissertation that he gave as the answer for that question. That's why I heard you read the question. I'm like, you're not going to make him give the essay. Oh, he's making him give the essay answer.
He's giving the essay answer. All right. Well, nice work. Hang on the line. Frank could get your information here on the other side. Meanwhile, we did figure out the score of that U.S.-Brazil volleyball game.
U.S. won it in 4.
Nice.
So they moved on to the semifinals, I believe, in the volleyball competition.
I will say this. Those dudes can jump. I mean, like, they're like, I don't even know how there's a dig in men's volleyball. Because they're shooting, they're hitting the ball straight down.
Straight down. Well, how about their serves? They jump and then they serve it straight down into the floor on the other side of the net.
It seems like it's heavy.
How they are able to get under there and make a pass, like you said, dig any kind of shot, is beyond me. I don't know how volleyball, I don't know how the women do it when I watch them play, and then the men do it at, you know, twice the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, volleyball's one of those sports that I have never been able to figure out how to play or do, and I'm always amazed by it. I'll tell you another one that's really got me and the Ant-Man. They asked the Ant-Man what his favorite event is.
Excuse me, not ping pong, because that's not ping pong.
No, that's table tennis.
That is table tennis.
The Ant-Man loved it, and I do too.
Dude.
Have you watched them?
I can't fathom.
Do you think you could even return
no,
to serve?
Absolutely not.
Because they put like 43 spins on it before it gets to you.
It's funny. Those guys at Petco play table tennis a lot.
Right. You said Arise was a good player.
They have table hips. Arise plays much like my dad. Very finesse spins and all that. But I think I was watching Korea-Japan the other day, the championship.
Okay.
The Korean girl ended up winning.
Yeah.
And just watching, like, the intensity of the kind of back-and-forth play.
Yeah.
First of all, they don't hold the racket like or the paddle like any of us hold it. They hold it like on the flat side. They don't even use the actual handle, it looked like. And the spins they're putting on this ball is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's nothing I'm familiar with. I mean, I played ping pong. I've never played table tennis like that.
No. That's a whole different
thing.
There's
something. I recommend actually if you're bored, or not even if you're bored, how about if you're just kind of interested in it, go to YouTube and call up amazing table tennis shots. Have you seen some of the ones they've had, like that have been tweeted out? Guys running around the entire board, shooting it over their top. I mean, some of the shots they make, they're pretty good. Yeah. It's a really tiny table.
They make it seem like it's a much bigger table than it actually is. You notice the space behind them. They all have a bunch of space behind them, but it's just this little table that they have to contend with. All right, that does it for Chris versus the Fans. Let's get to break. On the other side, more Gwen and Chris. Here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.420 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Zello, Frank Marchese, trying to locate this Olympics on Peacock right now. One of the other streaming networks that
you can probably use my Peacock account since I canceled it 12 months ago, but they'll never let me cancel it. I mean, I don't understand that, but that's how that worked. My wife told me, like, I canceled it right after the playoff game that I was forced to purchase it for.
And they're still charging you?
And yeah, 4 months later, my wife goes, I just paid the Peacock bill. And I go, I canceled that right after the game was over. As a matter of fact, it was such a bad game for Miami fans that I probably canceled it during the game. Yeah, Peacock had a way of keeping you that's locked in.
Peacock,
it's kind of a sneaky move, if you ask me.
Like, I mean, we're going to make this difficult for them to figure out how to get out of this.
Almost impossible. Not easy at all.
We're going to make it so that you can't talk to anybody. You're going to have to just wait on us to get back to you whenever we get ready to.
Yeah, and we'll never cancel you. So
we get to
continue sending you a bill, whether you watch us or not.
Yeah.
Peacock, my favorite streaming service.
Now, in college football, today... Frank, if I'm not mistaken, we had the rankings come out today.
The coaches poll came out today.
Coaches poll. Chris, I want you to remind everybody how we feel about these particular rankings.
Well, they ought to call it the Sports Information Director poll, first of all.
Right.
Because the coaches hardly vote. Not most, but I know many coaches just give the ballot to their media relations director and say, please fill it out for me and turn it in. I don't have time for this. But since we don't have a writer's poll yet, the coach's poll is all we got.
Right. And
so it's the one time of the year where I care about the coach's poll today.
Right. And, you know, we often will, and you'll hear us eventually say, this poll makes no sense because all it does is confuse everybody when one of these 25 teams in here right now shows up on the first day, and they look like they don't belong.
Right.
This is part of the reason why. They may not have been 25 to begin with, or in the top 25 to begin with.
Not only that, Tony, 9 of the teams in the 25 are in the SEC.
Well, we know that's
how is that? I mean, but how is it possible that they can all be that, you know, They can't all be in the top 25. They're going to play each other and beat each other, but they'll never fall out of the poll.
No.
Because...
And this starting point right here matters.
That's right.
You know, because a team like, I don't know, say like an Oregon, they got a little more leeway.
Yeah, they do.
Early because of where they're starting.
It's a big deal now because, correct me if I'm wrong... And I might be wrong.
It was a new year.
Wouldn't be the first time. But the playoff now, you obviously, if you win your conference, you are in. That's four teams.
Yes.
There's four power conferences. That's four. Then there's going to be, hopefully, a fifth team from all of the other, you know, lousy conferences.
Yeah.
Whatever they call us. I don't even know
the
what they call
six.
It. Yeah, the normal conferences. That's the one the Aztecs are in and others. And then, but the other seven spots are all at large selections, but they're going to be based on where teams rank in the polls.
Right.
So you're right. Oregon starts ahead of, let's just say, ahead of Missouri. Oregon's 3, Missouri's 11. If they both have the exact same season and finish, 11-2, and win the same and lose the same, et cetera, Oregon will finish ahead of Missouri because they started ahead of Missouri.
Right.
And they'll get into the playoff and Missouri won't. And there's really not that the world is ever fair, but that's really, really not fair.
Yeah.
But that's how it's still going to happen. And I know people think that with 12 teams, we're finally going to settle all of the issues in college football.
We're just opening it up for more.
You're just opening it up for more complaining from the teams that finished 13, 14, 15,
that
and 16. They're all going to want to get in.
That is without a doubt a
and
fact.
And nobody's looking at that.
Nope.
Everybody thinks, oh,
finally,
we got a playoff, we got 12 teams, there'll be no arguments. No, there'll be more arguments.
There's going to be more. We'll be talking about 20-something playoff teams before you know
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and pretty soon, what the NCAA basketball does.
Right.
They got 64, and now they have 68. And guess what? The 69th team is mad. So they talk about moving it to 96. It never matters how many. The next team's always going to be mad.
Right.
Who's ever that team is.
Now, if we're being honest. They're not changing this because teams are mad. They're changing this because there's a
I can't believe they didn't do this a lot earlier. I mean, honestly, it just took them a lot. College football is so stupid. They couldn't even get out of their way, their own way,
to make
billions of more dollars. That's how dumb college football is. But they finally got it figured out enough to have a playoff. So it'll be fun. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's going to be seven at-large teams, and the 8th, 9th, and 10th at-large teams are going to be livid.
Yeah.
Just like last year, Florida State was livid.
Livid.
They didn't get into the four.
They had one loss. Didn't get in.
They didn't have any losses.
That's right.
Didn't
have any.
I don't think they had any.
Frank, you said something to me before we started the show off air that I think makes a lot of sense. As we get ready.
What?
Frank mentioned this to me.
Good.
He's obviously a video game player like myself.
Okay.
College football came out. Here, like 2 weeks ago now?
About
2 weeks mm-hmm. ago. It's a hit.
Okay.
And I think, as Frank said to me before the show, it's going to bring more attention to college football. Because he was like, I don't know if it's the video game, but
I'm ready to go this year.
And you're excited.
I haven't felt like that. In at least the last couple of years.
So because you're playing with players from these teams that are going to be upcoming.
Now, the catch.
So you're looking forward to
it. The catch for me is I have a personal rule with video games and sports games that I can't start you until I finish what other season I'm playing in. So right now I'm in the show.
Oh.
I can't really play the college game. It's not college football season just yet.
Maybe it's time you change your rule.
I don't know. I can't. It's a long-standing rule. I got to finish my season.
And there's only one person who makes the determination on that rule.
There
and
is.
That's you.
That's me. That's right.
You are judge and jury.
Judge, jury, executioner, whatever you call it. I'm everything.
Yes, that's it.
But
so.
it is
But it's
real.
It's got you ready for the season this year.
And I've got a 10-2 San Diego State. Playing in
that's
the
what
West
I
tonight.
That's what so, I like to touch here.
A 10-2.
I got a 10-2 San Diego State.
Are you cheating for us, Frank? Or
no,
is it?
No, he was legit. He was actually telling me
that he's disappointed he hasn't found the slip the money to the guy button on the video game yet. He can't have figured it out.
Yeah, there's no blatantly commit and a recruiting violation button on there yet.
There isn't the Harbaugh button?
No.
You don't have the Harbaugh button you can exercise?
By the way, we didn't even give you the top 25 for the preseason.
Yeah, we might as well, after all this talk, tell you who's in the thing.
Georgia is number one, of course.
Yeah.
The Ohio State Buckeyes at 2.
Right.
Oregon 3. Texas 4. Alabama 5.
By the way, real quick note on Alabama. Their lowest ranking to start a season since 2009.
Mm.
The last 15 years, they've been at least in the top 4.
We're about to find out how much of an issue it's going to be not having
Mr.
Saban anymore.
Don't have Nick.
Yeah.
No Nick.
6 through 10. Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, Florida State at 10.
Okay.
10 through 15. Or 11 through 15. Missouri, LSU, Utah, Clemson, Tennessee. That's followed by...
You know what makes me mad about Utah? Just a little bit.
They were in the Mountain
West. If we had the money that they had, wouldn't the Pac-12 have rather taken us all those years ago?
No.
Just because of the recruiting thing?
You know what it is? As what I heard was that USC and UCLA was
just would have never let us in.
Never let it happen.
Yeah.
Never let it happen.
I know.
Utah was in the right geographical
spot. They were just
spot.
In the right spot because Utah's not a better necessarily than us.
No, not even close.
But Utah now has the resources to be 13th in the nation because they played in the Pac-12. Now they're in the
Big 12, right?
Big 12. I can't keep track. They moved into another one.
I think did they go to the Big 10
or Big 12?
I think
they went to Big 12.
I feel like they did too. But it's just crazy that Utah's now a player on the national scene, and we got so left behind back then.
The whole timing for said instance, and in this most recent one. Has this just been
bad luck?
Bad luck. Yeah. Bad luck. Where was I at? Tennessee.
Utah, Clemson, Tennessee.
Oklahoma, Kansas State. Oklahoma State.
I'm a man.
The U.
Oklahoma State's my automatic cheering against school this
100%, 100%.
Year. Because the guy let the drunk kid off the hook and said he'd understand why he drank.
Because I've done it. We've all done it before.
We've all done it all the time. That's a leader, the kind of leadership you want there at Oklahoma State.
The U at 19, A&M at 20, and then 21 through 25 goes Arizona, NC State, USC, Kansas, Iowa.
You'll notice that other than Notre Dame, which is an independent, not a single team from a non-Power Four conference gets the light of day.
Not even close.
Not a single one. Not a Boise State or an SMU to be found anywhere.
You got Liberty got 15 votes to be in the top 25, but that's as close as you got.
Liberty there. Did, huh?
Yes.
Good.
All right. Go ahead.
Utah is in the Big 12, but according to Google, they're still in the Pac-12. So
Google's
a little lagging there.
A little late, Google. All right, let's get to break.
Big Five, Frank.
When we come back, Frank gets the star in this next Big Five. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Hi, Gwen and Chris. Kind of a lazy Monday afternoon, you know. I've been tired all day long. Padres aren't playing today. Tony's in studio. We're hanging. Scraby's at Wrigley Field.
He sent some pictures out already.
He's sending pictures of his exciting afternoon at Wrigley, where he's going to see the Cubs play the Twins. And I always call them that because that's what Uncle Teddy called them.
The Twins.
Because he had twins.
Oh.
And it stressed him out every time he saw that name, Twins. Uncle Teddy. Did you hear that Uncle Teddy co-hosted with Ben?
I did hear that.
On this very airwaves last week for an hour or two one day. I don't know what day it was, but that's awesome. Uncle Ted, love to hear that.
Always, always love to hear Uncle Ted's voice.
The best.
He comes and visits with us every once in a while before the game. We get to,
He regales you.
I was trying to come up with a clean word to use. We get to talking a lot of trash while we're in the same room. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did get to see. I didn't get to listen to the show, though. I didn't find out till after the fact that he was co-hosting with Ben.
Uncle Theodore. Theodore! Still without a no-hitter, to his credit.
And, man, my man...
frustrates him.
Retires, and two of them happen, like...
And then Don Orsillo tweets out that he's now done five.
Yeah.
I don't think Don Orsillo's popping off about it. He was just making note of it, you know, that this is cool, that I've got to do five no-hitters. Ted got zero. All right. We miss you, Ted, but I'm glad to hear that he was on the air with Ben last week. That's good. Very cool. All right, we're going to get to the big five. Top five sports stories of the day, according to Frank Marchese, who's filling in for Scraby today. But first, there's a check of traffic.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only...
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts 97.3 The Fan.
All righty. So, five sports stories today, like two or three of which Chris has already tried to swipe out from under me. But we'll...
They tried to vulture your stories, man.
We'll get to it right now. We'll get it going.
Number five.
All right, so we spend so much time on these shows discussing historically good, so how about we give equal time to historically bad? The Chicago White Sox are in the midst of a historic run, one that sees them one loss shy of the AL record for most consecutive losses and three shy of the all-time record. After losing 13-7 to the Twins yesterday, the Sox now sit at 20 consecutive losses. Mm. They have not won a game since game one of a doubleheader on July 10th.
Wow.
Also against Minnesota.
That puts it into perspective, though. July 10th was a ways ago.
And sit at an overall record of 27-87.
Yeah.
They start a three-game series in Oakland tonight, who to them may as well be the 2001 Seattle Mariners, before a day off and then coming back home for a weekend series against the Cubs. Chris?
Yeah?
Am I the jerk for wanting this losing streak to continue so they could take the 62 Mets off the hook for the 120
yeah,
losses?
Right. You're not the jerk at all. I mean, if my team, you know, had the kind of the note, the record that I'm the worst team of all time, I'd like a little company in that category. Now, the Mets of 62, they never lost 20 in a row.
No.
The record there is held by the Phillies of 1961.
Yes.
It was the year before the Mets. Phillies were managed by a guy named Gene Mauch, who'd go on and manage the Angels to some success, actually, in the 70s and 80s. But Gene Mauch's Phillies lost 23 in a row. I don't know. No, you can't do it. From the outside looking in, though, you feel like you're so close, you might as well lose the next three, get to 23, then come back to Chicago, go to Wrigley Field.
No, they're home for the Cubs.
Yes, they are. I'm sorry. Come back home, have the Cubs come in, and then set the record against the Cubs, 24. Might as well make some history. Something you can tell your kids. It's a lot more fun than telling them that you lost 20 in a row and didn't quite get the record.
That is a way to look at it.
It's a heck of a way to look at it.
Certainly a way to look at it.
I was on one of the worst teams of all time. Ah, forget it, Dad. I want to hear about it if you're on the worst team.
Yeah, not one of them. You got to be the worst.
20's not good. I feel so bad for some of their pitchers, though. I mean, not that they're any good, but you look at some of their records, right? Soroka's 0-10. Chris Flexen is 2-11.
Yeah, none of those are going to look good.
I mean, they can't look good because the team never wins a game. Anyway.
Tony, how excited are you to be going there in September? Last road trip?
We don't go there. They
White
come
Sox?
Here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We went
that's
there last
year. That's next year. That's next year. Last
they're coming in here?
Last homestand again.
I mean,
like the last couple
it's
of years.
It's the last 3 years. There's been a weird thing now where we end with the White Sox, whether it be at home or on the road. So it seems out of place to me a little bit.
Yeah.
But this just goes back to this whole stupid new schedule that we have now.
Yes.
So we got to play them at some point. I want to play the division more.
I don't mind the new schedule. It's how they've implemented it to where, like, you're done with the Dodgers in June. That's a problem.
Well, you got to take games away if you're going to play everybody.
I know, but then parse them out to where you're playing, like, only the division in September or something like that.
Yeah, White Sox,
I guess they could do that.
White Sox called up a kid from the minor
McDonald's,
leagues.
McDonald's, maybe?
No, Kai Bush. He's making his major league debut tonight, and all he's being asked to do is stop a 20-game losing streak. There might be more pressure on this kid than if he were starting game one of the World Series.
It's like, just go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Come on.
It's only history on the line.
Right.
Number four.
All righty. So number four, not to take away from the sweep of L.A. last week.
But sounds Dodger, like you're about to take away the sweep from L.A.
But the Dodger team we saw to close out last month was not their A-team.
That's fair.
Big players like Mookie Betts are sidelined with injury, but one of the biggest names was out for a very, very different reason. Freddie Freeman had been placed on the family emergency list on July 25th with no details really known. In a joint social media post yesterday, Freddie and his wife Chelsea stated that their 3-year-old son, Maximus, quote, went into full body paralysis and was rushed to the hospital to, quote, reinforce his lungs. This is linked to a rare neurological disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Maximus is recovering and has a, quote, long road ahead. Freddie could return to the Dodgers this week, possibly tonight. The Dodgers have not put out their lineup just yet. The Phillies have. The Dodgers have not.
Still?
Yes.
It's coming soon because just DFA'd Kevin Biggio. So yes, they're making the roster moves necessary to get everybody there.
Tony, as a father, I'm sure you don't want to imagine what that family is going through right now with their 3-year-old son.
Yeah. No, I don't. I can't imagine playing under those circumstances. It was hard for me to play in 14 when my dad was real sick. I can't imagine what it's like to have your baby, your 3-year-old son, be going through something this traumatic.
It's got to feel so awful because a 3-year-old is like so powerless to do anything about it.
Right.
You can't give him a pep talk, really. You know, you just pray.
That's all you can do. And, I mean, he played, I think, a few games while they were trying to figure out what was going on, and then he eventually got so bad that he had to take a leave. I can't imagine having to play and focus the way you have to at the big league level when nothing's going on outside of your life. So and in some ways, I can guess this could be kind of a getaway for a little bit for him, just for a few hours before he has to kind of refocus and you know, lock in on his son.
The part that really got me was having to reinforce his lungs. That can't be.
I mean, they had to remove a ventilator eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And had to remove a breathing tube. I mean, this isn't an adult. Again, this is a 3-year-old. So you can only imagine the type of pain that was just to go through that part of what he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Number three.
All right, another heartwarming story that happened over the weekend surrounded the NFL's Hall of Fame game that took place between the Houston Texans and a team that is known as the Bears.
The Bears!
During the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, Stephen McMichael was shown surrounded by his teammates from the legendary 85 Bears defense as his Hall of Fame bust was unveiled in his home in Homer Glen, Illinois. Mongo has been bedridden from battling ALS over the last 3 years and has lost the ability to speak. Chris Berman relayed a message from McMichael stating, quote, "I don't want ALS to be my legacy. What I did on the field, that's my legacy. Pushing myself to the limit farther than anyone else could." Chris, what do you remember about seeing McMichael and that Bears defense?
The Bears defense is the best I've ever seen. And I know that the Ravens of 2000 and Ray Lewis get most of the love for that. Because there's, you know, that's this closer generation. But the 85 Bears were the best I ever saw. And they just tore everybody up. I think the, I don't know if it was the Patriots in the Super Bowl had minus 37 yards rushing. You couldn't even get back to the line of scrimmage against them. And your passing attack would just be obliterated by their rush. Nobody had ever seen that 46 defense at the time, so nobody really knew how to plan against it. Marino was the only one who beat him, and he beat him on a bunch of lucky bounces. He was throwing off his back foot. McMahon was injured. That's the only thing that kept the Bears from going undefeated. But McMichael was right in the middle of that, so it doesn't work without the guy right in the middle, you know, of the line. And, you know, this was a great, wonderful touch by the Hall of Fame to bring the bus to him and let him be able to celebrate in that manner. When I saw it, I thought a lot about people like, I guess maybe Don Coryell came to mind, but others. People that should be in the Hall of Fame that they wait too long to put in the damn Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And
they never get a chance to.
They don't get to see that even. And football happens in football. So let that be a lesson to, you know, all of the Hall of Fames. You know, he got to see at least himself get inducted, and that was a precious moment.
Absolutely.
Number two.
All right, I don't... Oh, sorry. My bad. Sorry. Go ahead. Never mind. Go ahead.
What was the question? What do I remember about seeing McMichael? I don't remember much. I was only three. But I know that that was one of the best defenses to ever play football.
Yeah, they were.
And you know, why I remember this defense is because even though this defense was in 85, it felt like when they came out with Tecmo Bowl that they you could still the defense remnants of that defense was still there. But yeah, I was probably a little too young to really know this defense like that.
All right. I think
number two.
This is really number one, but I don't think we're gonna have enough time to get through all five. The college football season kicks off with week zero action at 9 a.m. on August 25th with Georgia Tech hosting Florida State. But that doesn't mean that we cannot start racking up NCAA violations early. New Michigan football head coach Sherrone Moore was found to have violated rules along with six other members from the 2023 coaching staff. The allegations include Moore deleting a 52-text thread with former staffer Connor Stallions about Stallions attempting to steal play call signals from upcoming opponents. Now, if you think...
Like they had to cheat to beat Central Michigan.
These are allegations?
Allegations, okay. Yes. Now,
there are shots of this guy standing in a Central Michigan hat on the sidelines.
I do remember that from last year.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, if you're thinking you know more from somewhere, you probably do. Because this is the same goober that cried during his post-game interview.
You must have written this question.
Yes, I did. I wrote all these. This is the same goober that cried during his post-game interview after beating Penn State when Harbaugh got suspended for... Oh, yeah, that's right. These very same allegations.
Yeah.
Tony, why should this guy not be fired by Harbaugh personally?
Because it's the same allegations.
Yeah, but if Harbaugh's taking the rap for this guy, and this is the guy who actually did it, then Harbaugh got suspended for it.
The thing is, the NCAA already had all this information last year. We're just now hearing about it. And that was the whole point. Remember when the Big Ten went ahead and... I don't know if they cleared. I think they cleared him at that point, which allowed Harbaugh to come back and coach. And the whole time we knew the NCAA was still investigating. So they had all this stuff. And if they really wanted to do something about it, they would have came down with their decision last when the season was still going. So, you know, at this point, you let it roll till now. I don't really want to hear from you, NCAA. This is part of the issue with the NCAA and them ruling over things is that there's no consistency and they take years before they actually come up with something. By that time, people have changed jobs, things have changed at that point.
My point was Harbaugh took the rap for this guy, and if Harbaugh was free and clear of not doing anything,
Harbaugh
should be the one to give any penalty to this guy.
Frank, I feel like you got some type of grudge against Michigan here. You called him a goober.
I'm a Penn State guy.
Oh, there it is.
And Penn State, the cleanest football program in the history of man.
That's why I left that part out.
The great Joe Paterno and others.
Hofstra doesn't have a football program.
Let's be honest, though. No college football fan anywhere can throw stones. Because you live in a glass house no matter who you are.
You definitely live in a glass house.
Which is exactly why this stuff ought to just go away. The NCAA had their chance to get Michigan. They got what they got. And
he called
it should
goober.
Be over. Should be over by now.
Tell me you're a Penn State fan without telling me you're a Penn State fan.
During a post-game interview.
It was his first win.
But he's the one that did all this that Harbaugh took the rap for.
Sounds like sour grapes buddy.
It's really not. It's how are you crying when you're the one who did it and you're replacing the guy who's taking the rap for you?
What if Harbaugh is lying?
Then if he's lying, then fine. Okay. You still are a part of this. You're crying as though you're innocent.
I don't think it mattered. They still tapped Penn State on the way to the championship.
It's only like a 5-point game.
Yeah, you know, it's still a nil.
Oh, I get that, but still, it's
has
not,
anyone won that
the loss
won
to Penn State doesn't matter. That's not the point here.
I feel like
the
that's why your angst is up, though.
No, it's not. It's the hypocrisy of this guy. That's what's getting me going.
Penn State, pretty clean.
If you're not hypocritical, you're not trying in college football.
Off the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.